Morning Watch, Romans, Week 1, Romans 1 through Romans 4. Wednesday, Related Verses, Romans 2, 1 through 4, 17 through 21, and 28 through 29. Therefore, you are without excuse, O every man who judges, for in what you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth upon those who practice such things. And do you consider this, O man who judge those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that God's kindness is leading you to repentance? 17 through 21. But if you bear the name of Jew and rest upon the law and boast in God and know the will and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and have confidence that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those in darkness, one who disciplines the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the proper form of the knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach not to steal, do you steal? 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in spirit, not in letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Related reading. Now we come to the way of restriction, the way to restrict evil and wickedness. I like this part of Romans. All of us, especially the young people, need to pay our full attention to this way of restriction. The first item in the way of restriction is knowing God by his creation. The invisible things of God, his eternal power and divine nature, can be apprehended by his creation. The heavens and the earth manifest the invisible things of God. Approximately 20 years ago, the brothers in Taiwan collected biographical material on the famous scientists of the past centuries. They discovered that only a small percentage of those leading scientists said they did not believe in God. The distinct majority of them believed in God. I once read an article in which Einstein was asked whether or not he believed in God. He replied, "Your question is an insult to me. How could a scientist such as I not believe in God? If you study science, it will tell you that there is a God." Although I do not know science, I know a little about our human body. Many times, as I preach to people about God, I have asked them to consider their bodies. I told them, "Think how wonderful you are. Who made you? All the hair on our physical bodies, both inside and outside, grows downward, except for the hair in our throat, which grows upward. This is very meaningful. If the hair in our throat grew downward, we would die because phlegm could not be discharged. Who made us this way? Furthermore, consider the marvelous design of the human face. The mouth has been properly positioned. How awkward and how terrible it would be for our mouth to be placed between our eyes. Also, have you ever thought about the function of our eyebrows? They function as breakwaters, keeping the perspiration out of our eyes. Who designed us this way? Recently, I had two operations on my right eye. The surgeon showed me an artificial eye, especially pointing to the lens and the retina. Immediately, I saw that this was an exact replica of the best camera. No one can make a camera to match the human eye. Who made these things? Our teeth are also marvelously designed. Our front teeth, the incisors, act like two knives cutting whatever is placed in between them. Then the tongue sends the food back to the molars, which are like grinding stones, grinding the food into a digestible substance. As the molars grind, saliva is secreted to liquefy the food. This is marvelous. Who made it? We must say, Lord, thank you. You are my creator. You have made me in such a wonderful way. When we behold creation in general, and the human body in particular, how can we say there is no God? Even an atheistic medical doctor has to confess there is an Almighty One who created the human body. Therefore, by the things made, we can apprehend the eternal power and divine nature of God. When we see God in the beauties and wonders of His creation, we have to worship and glorify Him. Knowing God by His creation is the first aspect in the way of restricting evil. We must hold the reality of God in righteousness, approving of keeping God in our full knowledge. We need to glorify, thank, worship, and serve Him. It is very important to practice these four things. As a grandfather, I say a word to my grandchildren who are attending this training. I do know what is human life. Believe me when I say that worshiping God can never be wrong. The first thing you teenagers need to learn is to worship God. Nothing is more important in your human life than worshiping God. I would hate it for my children to earn millions of dollars and yet not worship God. I do not want to see my second or third generation become wealthy and yet not worship God. I would rather see them come here to learn how to worship the Lord. The greatest blessing in human life is to be trained to worship our God. Next, we need to do things according to our nature. Some people are so spiritual that they condemn everything natural. They seem to feel that nothing natural can be good. In a sense, I agree with this almost completely. In another sense, however, I would caution you against forgetting our nature. Our original nature as created by God was good. Everything created by our Father, including our nature, was good originally. Of course, our nature was poisoned by the fall. There can be no doubt about this. Nevertheless, as human beings, we have a nature which God created good, and we need to act according to it. We should take heed to this nature. Although you may argue that it is not wrong to steal from others, the nature within you protests whenever you are tempted to steal. Even bank robbers will admit that. As they rob banks, their nature tells them, "Don't do this." However, they will not listen. It is the same with every evildoer. Whenever they do something wrong, their nature disagrees. We need to observe the requirements of the nature within us. In Romans 2:14-15, Paul says that when the nations who do not have the law practice the things of the law, they prove that the function of the law is written in their heart. The law of God has a function in our nature. In other words, our nature corresponds to God's law because our nature was made by God. God's law was given according to God's nature, for a lawgiver always enacts a law in accordance with his own being. God created man according to what he is. Therefore, the law given by God and the man created by God correspond to one another. Thus, we do not need an outward law, because we have the function of the law written in our nature. We simply need to live according to our nature. Along with our good nature, we also have a conscience. The conscience is a wonderful entity, and we should listen to it. Although medical doctors cannot locate it, no one can deny that we possess it. Our conscience protests continually. When you argue with your parents, your conscience says, "Don't do this." If you offend your parents, your conscience will trouble you for 3 nights. Every husband seeking to divorce his wife will also be convicted by his conscience. All men have a conscience. This is a great matter. In the normal Christian life, we must all take care of our conscience in a suitable way. In addition to our nature and our conscience, we have the reasoning in our mind. Do not be so spiritual to say that our mind is absolutely useless. In our mind, we have the good reasonings. Sometimes these reasonings accuse and condemn, and other times they excuse and justify. Often, as we set out to do a certain thing, we experience a conflict in our reasonings, with some reasoning saying, "Yes, that's right," and others saying, "No, that's wrong." We have all experienced this. We need to take care of our nature, our conscience, and the reasonings within us. We have seen the five items in the way of restriction: knowing God by His creation, holding the truth of God in righteousness, living according to our nature, listening to our conscience, and caring for our proper reasonings. If we observe all these things, we will be restricted from every kind of evil. Although we all are saved and are living somewhere in Romans 5 through 8, we still need to know the source of evil and the way to be restricted from doing evil. Hallelujah, we have found it. We need to know God by His creation and hold His truth in righteousness. We need to act according to our nature, heed the voice of our conscience, and care for the proper reasonings within us. If we practice all these things, we will be protected.